The ring I could let go? That stuff belonged to people I knew. People who went out and never came back.
We found that stuff. We didn't do anything.
You hurt my son.
I swear you'll never see us again.
I know.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Fear Me. You just see me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 133. How are you doing, Scott?
Oh, I'm lovely. How are you, Kimmy?
Well, winter has hit. Winter is here.
Yes. We skipped the 70s, didn't we? We went right from the 90s, 80s, yeah. Down
I thought
to
you
the,
meant the decade.
50s.
I thought you meant the decade.
I know. I figured you would think that.
Yeah, fall didn't stick around very long. And now it's been raining here in Atlanta for 2 days straight, and we've got river floodings, and it's supposed to rain for another day and a half.
I'm getting ready to start building an ark here pretty soon.
We got two or three more days of rain coming our way.
It's just not good.
We're just getting constant updates about how the river's about to flood.
And we live near the river, so.
The Hooch.
Yep.
It's just not good. And it's cold and miserable, and everybody's like tired and depressed, and it's just been a barrel of laughs the past couple of days.
I kind
of
like weather like this. Not too bad.
No.
I get a lot of work done that way.
I like it when I don't have to go to work. And I can just roll over in bed. And,
I have no motivation.
No, we've
maybe
had
open the window a little bit.
We've had serious like road closings and stuff because of the river swamping roads.
I'm thinking I might go open the window right now and go to bed.
No, okay. You have something to do.
Oh,
you have work to do.
Right.
So
the show.
Drink your beer and tell us what you're drinking.
Well, I can't do both at the same time because that would be very wet. I am drinking Southern Tier Brewing Company's Citra Hop Live. Says, bright, refreshing, and loud. Southern Tier is out of Lakewood, New York. It's pretty good. I mean, it's definitely got a citrus pop to it, that's for sure. Actually, it is somewhat smooth tasting. It's not as bitter as an IPA, but it's definitely very citrusy. It's good, though. I like it.
Well, it's funny that you're drinking that beer, because
really?
We're drinking Guayabera.
Goyabera. Yeah. Citra Pale Ale from Cigar City Brewing, which is out of Florida.
We're Tampa.
Tampa, Florida. But I think they like teamed up with Oscar Blues or something. At least when we were at the Oscar Blues up in Brevard, I know they had cigar.
Yes.
But it's actually, I wasn't really thinking this was going to be a good beer, but it's actually extremely good.
It's really good.
It is. I mean,
love it.
It's Goyabera Citra Pale Ale. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be like some weird fruity beer from Florida. It's actually really good. What?
Like most Floridians?
No. It's Florida. Come on. It's Citra? I mean, you got to think they got to be pushing the citrus.
Yes.
I would think. But no, it's actually a really good beer. I like it.
Nice.
And plus, okay, when I would go to the grocery store, it's always sitting on the shelf and no one's buying it.
Oh, well, nice. Now we'll buy it.
Yeah, so I'm going to stock up.
Bring it for Thanksgiving when we get together.
All right, I'm thankful right now. It's a good beer.
Well, you just ordered some beer online, too.
Yeah, I did. I'm not sure who actually put this whole thing together, but The Walking Dead has put together Beer The Walking Dead, which is actually...
We should have claimed that.
Huh?
We should have claimed that name.
Yeah. Based on the Fear The Walking Dead character...
Jim, it's Augie's Ale.
Yeah, they're actually putting out Augie's Ale, which they've teamed up with Wicked Weed Brewing out of Asheville. And you can pre-order it online. And I think they have links to it on the Fear the Walking Dead website, possibly. I know we got some emails about it being released.
Maybe we can put a link to it on our website or something.
Yeah, we'll put it on Facebook.
We'll put it on Facebook since we don't have a website anymore, Scott.
And it's coming out in, like, January, right? Oh, that's right.
Yes. We can... Actually, yeah, the beer is, I believe you can pre-order it, like I was saying, and it will actually be delivered in January.
Right to our door.
But I'm not sure if they're going to be producing it kind of like the wines were pretty, you know, like if it's actually going to be
like
in
a limited.
Well, and if it's going to be in a bunch of stores or not. It says limited production.
Probably, but I don't think it'll be that widely sold unless it's popular.
I think it's going to be dependent on how many pre-orders they get. They might make more.
Well, Wicked Weed does a lot of limited edition beers, though.
They do good beers, though. Very good
yes,
beers.
Oh, yes, fantastic beers. Some of the best in the nation.
And I think it's another Blood Orange, isn't it? Just like the original Walking Dead beer?
Yes, I think it was, from what you showed me.
Anyways, it's exciting. Should I was excited when I saw that. Augie's Ale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Us being huge fans of Fear, that's pretty cool news.
It's very cool news.
And actually, the fun thing is that they list all the ingredients, which I think match up to what he was saying. Said the ingredients are. Although they don't, they should have left a space for the thing that he doesn't say what is in there.
Oh,
the
like secret dot
thing.
Dot dot.
Yeah, but
maybe they did. We'll have to see.
All right, let's talk about The Walking Dead, season 9, episode 6. Who are you now? First episode without Rick Grimes, right? Yeah.
Yep.
It kind of all just kind of meshes together. There's so much going on. And that Rick Grimes episode felt like a season finale, but here we are back again 1 week later, and we've done a 6-year time jump.
And it's the season premiere.
And it's
like
the season premiere.
It is like a season premiere.
Right.
I mean, it is.
Everything's different. I think it's super inventive.
Welcome the new show.
Yeah. I mean, it's inventive the way they reinvented all the characters and everything. So anyways, what did you guys think?
I liked it, and I think, you know, it was very much like we talked about this. The group of new characters coming in was a vehicle to help tell the story of the people that we already know and kind of where they've gone in the past 7 years or so. And I thought it was, that worked out really well. I enjoyed it very much.
Scott?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent episode. Another one in the long stream of good episodes they've had recently. I was curious to see how we were going to be reintroduced to our old characters and new faces, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. I to tell you the truth, I was pretty much pleased with all the characters. The only one that I was a little bit down on was Michonne, but I certainly understood where Michonne was coming from, why she was a lot harder now than she was.
Agreed.
So it was a logical change. I love the new Eugene. I thought his character was much better.
Eugene is badass now.
But yeah, exactly.
Partially.
And
he started out badass, and then it was like, what are you doing, man?
And I will have to say this. I certainly see a lot more chemistry between Father Gabriel and Rosita than I did between Father Gabriel and Anne.
Me too.
Yeah, I think I think it was like, you would never have guessed that matchup, but it worked out a lot better. It made more sense.
Well, not only that, I mean, what the hell? I mean, Father Gabriel's getting more action than Daryl. I mean, Father Gabriel's moving around, man.
Yeah, he is. I like that he went from like a bit part where we never heard from him, or he was kind of squirrely for a while there.
Yep.
And now he's like become this major impactful character.
Well, he's one of the leaders of the town now.
Right.
I mean, he was the head of their council, the chairman of the council.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah. And, you know, we've always said that we kind of liked Father Gabriel when he got to be in charge of things, you know, or got control of himself. I mean, I remember Warrior Father Gabriel I loved. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite character of his. Like when they went after the satellite outpost or whatever.
Right.
But I like the Father Gabriel we've got now. He's certainly better than the whiny Gabriel.
God,
I couldn't
too.
Stand that guy.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe we needed to go through that whiny Gabriel to really appreciate the Gabriel we got now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he definitely has more of a voice in the community.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He's like standing up like anytime there's
any. Oh, he's
any
a leader.
Type of, yeah.
I mean, he's a leader in the community.
Yep.
But he also can lighten up a little bit too, which was nice. Kimmy, what did you think, hon?
I really enjoyed this episode for everything that you guys said. I mean, I like that we're finally seeing a different Michonne. Different hairstyle, different, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think she's a more mature and more forceful.
Yeah, forceful. Thank you. That's what I was trying to look for. We're still kind of don't know what's going on with Hilltop, although I have some ideas. I love that my favorite storyline has finally been introduced at the very end of this episode. So I can't wait to see where that goes. And even the Daryl parts, like, I feel so bad for Daryl. I'm sad for him. But also, you kind of understand where he's coming from, too. It's like...
I don't know if I do.
Sure, but I also like the way he kind of seems to recover from that somewhat at the end there.
Yeah.
When Carol shows up to pick him up on a ride.
Yeah.
Well,
he loves her.
So, I mean, he's kind of background character. So what's going on with Daryl? I mean, he's just... Yeah, he's. I mean, he's just kind of being.
He's a recluse.
Yeah, he's being solitary.
Yeah, he's a recluse. He's
I think
he's just gone out on his own, right?
I think the death of Rick just kind of threw him under the bus, and he is still mourning. And I think you know, he's always been that guy who didn't want to be a part of a group. He always wanted to be solitary, and he told them that many times over. And when Rick finally died, or you know, so he thinks that was his brother. Someone that he loved more than anything. And it was also the leader of his group. And I don't think he wanted to get close to anybody again or to even go through any of that, like, who's in charge? I'm in charge. We're going to fight it out. He doesn't want to deal with any of that. Kind of
like you remember Daryl after they first got to Alexandria. Even when Rick was in charge, Daryl was climbing the walls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, he was climbing the walls. The only thing that was keeping him there, the only thing that was keeping him in the fold was Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the only time we really see him is when he's like he catches that fish and has to kill the other walker, and then at the very end, and Carol shows up. Mm-hmm. Right, that's the only time you see him in the episode.
Well, when he wakes up at the beginning, he's in the tent, the tattered tent.
Right.
So he's he's living out in the woods somewhere, living off the land, you know that kind of thing.
Although after watching it a couple times, I didn't even realize he smiles when Carol shows up. It's a faint smile.
Yeah,
it is a smirk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that we don't go back to the Daryl that doesn't have any lines.
Yeah.
And that grunts all the time.
I don't think we will.
I want to keep going.
I really think Carol has a plan on why she's picking him up.
Is she him up or delivering supplies?
No, she said you need a ride.
Yeah.
I think she was coming to pick him up.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think her plan is to bring him with her to Hilltop, and then she's got a plan for him. Because she was definitely setting out to go find him right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Even though they got sidetracked by Jed and the boys.
One thing I do have to say about the episode overall is that them not dealing with Hilltop the entire time, other than talking about going to Hilltop, did not bother me at all.
Well, I actually found it to be fascinating. The fact that they didn't bite the temptation to do something with Hilltop in the episode.
Same.
And they were very, you know, they gave us clues, though, as to what's going on at Hilltop. It wasn't like it was unmentioned. I mean, it's definitely, I think we can deduce that Maggie's gone. Because who was it? It was Michonne was talking to somebody and they were saying something about, to the effect of, King Ezekiel and Carol were talking. And he says how Hilltop seems farther away than ever. And she was kind of like, yeah, well, you know, ever since she left.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And that's when you knew that something had happened at Hilltop.
Didn't they say ever since it happened? They kept saying that.
Yeah, ever since it happened. Right.
Okay. Which you're not really sure. I mean, you're assuming it's ever since, like, Rick died.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
No, I was assuming it was Carol. That they were talking about
there was some major event that was mentioned a few times, not just in their discussion,
right?
Other people's discussions where it was like ever since it happened, and I was like, my initial thought, okay, it was when Rick died, and then maybe they split up, and there wasn't that connection there or something. But then, as watching it the second time, I was thinking that might mean something else, which you may be alluding.
There's something that Stu, there is also another clue in there somewhere, and I do not remember exactly what it was, but something else that someone said that made it sound like there had been a regime change at Hilltop. But I can't remember what it was. But something definitely hit me to associate that.
Yeah. But no, I agree. There is something there. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring it out as we're talking about it.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that if last week was definitely Lauren Cohen's last episode, They certainly did not play it up very much to the fans.
I don't think it was. I think we will see more of her with...
Are you thinking that Maggie
died? We're
going to
see more of her.
I still think Maggie is gone with Georgie, but I also still think that Maggie's coming back. And either it's this season or it's going to be next season. But she's not gone forever.
I think we will see her again this season, and I think it's going to be with Georgie's people. And I think Georgie's people are going to be playing a more integral part in this.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
And that's why I think we'll have more more scenes with Carol. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Maggie coming back. So I don't think we've seen her at the end of this season by any means. There would have been more to it. Let's put it that way. There would have been more show to her disappearing.
Right. That's what I'm saying, too.
Right.
So it was so low-key that there was no way for... I mean, like, they didn't even talk about it on The Talking Dead. So there was no way for the viewers to process that she was leaving. They didn't have, we have not had that chance yet. So that's why I'm thinking. But then a lot of people actually speculated that last week was supposed to be her last week because she was supposed to go out with Rick. So, you know, I still think she's coming back, but it might be a long delay.
No, that was definitely not her last week. That was not a send-off. Yeah. For Maggie's character. In no way. That was a Rick send-off. Mm-hmm. So, no, Maggie's coming back. I don't think there's any doubt that she's still in the story. She's just not... Was it you that said last week you thought maybe Enid had taken over Hilltop?
No, that's in the comments section for the agenda.
Oh, was that what it is? Okay, never mind. Sorry. I read it from one of our listeners. Got it. Right. So, and I thought that was a very astute observation. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on at Hilltop.
Yeah.
But we've actually talked a lot about Hilltop after the fact that it was not even in the show.
It's a very good point.
It's still a prominent place in our minds.
No, but I mean, having it switch back and forth so much between different environments, I guess, is kind of where it starts getting more into that docudrama kind of thing. And I think it worked really well to not go there, but talk about it as being this distant place. Yeah. And when they were bringing it up, that was Ezekiel was concerned that, his son was going to be going there to learn from the blacksmith, right?
Earl.
Yeah.
Who was the one who was involved with
attacked
Gregory.
Maggie.
Yes.
Yeah, he attacked Maggie.
So now he's a prominent person.
They don't know. See, that's the thing. Remember, Ezekiel even says, if he hasn't gone into retirement.
Well, no.
So
they said that he's a trainer.
Right. But they said, one of the two, either Carol or him, said, well, if he hasn't gone into retirement, which means they're not in real good communication with Hilltop right now.
Right,
but that doesn't mean he's not prominent. He's like a prominent person in the neighborhood. Why do I keep saying neighborhood? In the community.
Cul-de-sac.
But I mean, my question is, now that now that the bridge is gone, what kind of impact did that really have on the different communities? We know that the sanctuary is kaput. It's no longer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It failed.
Yeah.
What other impacts did that bridge going out have on the other communities? And
obviously,
how do they communicate and stuff like that?
They, you know, Rick stressed that losing that bridge would be harder for them to keep in communication and trade.
Yeah.
Right.
With the other things. And it does sound like since then, the communities have gone their own way.
Yep.
Because, that's why Ezekiel wants to have that fair, is he wants to bring the communities back into contact with each other. So evidently, they're not in contact with each other very much.
Although I have to say, when Michonne was down there talking to Rick... again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That river did seem very easy to cross.
Yes.
with goods.
You could have used parts of the bridge and made a freaking raft. I mean, come on.
Let's do it. Pontoon Bridge, baby.
Yeah.
Pontoon Bridge.
Sawyer.
We got logs.
Style.
The festival that you brought up, Scott, is also interesting because if everybody remembers, that was what, in my mind, that's the festival that Rick was daydreaming about in season.
You mean when he was Old Man Rick?
Seven, yeah.
Old Man Rick in the dreams.
Uh huh.
Huh.
That sounds like a band.
I know it was. Old Man Rick and the Dreamers.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're actually going to do a festival after all of that.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. It's from it's actually from the beginning. What was that a van that we should have recognized for any reason?
No, I don't think so.
The one that Michonne broke into?
No.
She seemed to recognize it for some reason.
I thought she
knew where to look for stuff.
Yeah, she did.
Huh. I didn't get that impression at all.
I didn't either.
I just thought that she just came across a van that had been overgrown with vines, and she was just going to check it out to see if there's anything inside.
I think your comment's interesting, but I just think, like, yeah, she knew, okay, where to look quickly for stuff that is needed.
Because people, like, store their keys in the visor and stuff like that. So I think that's why she's
I'm thrilled that she found the little Rick figurine, but, man, I wanted those baseball cards.
I knew y'all were going to say something about that. Start looking through them.
Those are 69s. Those are 69 baseball cards. I want those.
I enjoy just the light in the dark, you know, finding little things. And I even the walker that's attached to the tree and that the birds getting the worm off of it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good. That was nice. And Daryl leaves it alone.
Yep. Yeah, well, he sees the walker is producing food for the birds there, exactly. So it's actually part of the process now.
It's providing for the ecosystem now.
Providing life.
Yep, exactly. So our new characters come in pretty quick early on.
Which I like. Luke, of course, is like the...
He's the mouthpiece.
He is the mouthpiece. And the funny thing is that we watched... what was it? Fantastic Beasts.
Just last week.
With the kids on, last week on Friday, and he was in it. That. Yeah, he was the main, one of the main characters.
Oh, that guy has been in tons of stuff. He's been in a ton of B-movie, Animal House knockoffs and stuff like that, where he's played some really grubby characters.
Well, it's good to see he's got better parts
stuff
then.
Like that. Yes, yes. But, yeah, I really like his character a lot in this.
Yeah, I do too. I think, actually the whole group and...
Magna's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to like her.
Oh, I did think that Luke... I actually printed this out and put this on my wall behind my desk at work now.
Uh-huh.
His saying about education was fantastic. He said, education never ends, even in the face of monsters and mayhem.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Love that. Yeah. I love that. I thought that was fantastic.
I'm a music teacher.
My new favorite saying.
I'm a music teacher, I guess, still. Yeah, that was good.
Exactly.
That was very good.
Yeah, I might get the t-shirt with that on it.
But it's really cool that we now have a deaf actor, a hard of hearing actor, and it just, continues from last season where we had the amputees.
I love the fact she's a journalist.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to see what happens with that, because I think that's going to be really interesting.
Get her together with Al from Fear the Walking Dead.
Because I love the fact that Al is a journalist. I thought that was one of the most intriguing parts about her. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested in this girl being the journalist and what she will bring there. Especially since I'm curious to see if they ever play anything more about the fact that she went after those politicians. Because I wonder if it had anything to do with the apocalypse and so forth that she was exposing.
Right. That's what it seemed like when she was saying that.
Yeah.
When her sister was.
So I would love to see if they play any further with that.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Oh, well, it seemed like it would be a perfect write-in. Like, that it was, it had something to do with everything that fell apart.
Oh, you're right. Well, because of the Rick movies, they said they're going to be showing other parts of the world now. So that would be interesting to be able to tie in that story.
The other thing I thought that was kind of like, when I first saw her, I thought of kind of like our guy in Fear who was in the wheelchair, this person with the handicap, how's the person with the handicap survive? But it's that heightened other senses, because when the walkers are coming up, every time they show them, that was one of the recent scenes where it was like, oh, you see all the trees moving, you don't hear anything, but you just see trees moving and birds like flying around stuff.
That was last episode with Rick.
It was the last right Rick was laying on the ground, I guess, and that happened. I was thinking, man, if you have those heightened, because everything's quiet anyways, know, I mean, it actually might be a plus to not be hearing everything that's moving around you.
For the episode.
Because all they do is go.
For the episode next week, they show
which
them.
Which is kind of like hanging out with Scott.
And Daryl.
That's right.
Daryl and I would have a great conversation.
They show the group in the back of the wagon heading to Hilltop, and the two of them stop. And they start looking in the woods, and everybody's like, "What? What is it?"
Right.
Yeah, because all the trails on the concrete in front of, or on the road in front.
There's
of them.
Visuals, but there's like vibrations and other things that people wouldn't necessarily pick up on that they might pick up on.
Vibrations. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's interesting. A good point.
Yeah. Or just like the smell of walkers.
Heightened sense of smell.
Yeah. There was someone did make a comment about
actually
like,
that's a horrible world to have a heightened sense of smell.
That's true. I was thinking about there was a comment that somebody made about just the amount of walkers that are still around, like just questioning, which is good. I was actually wondering about like Daryl is hunting in the river and there's like the walker, and he's about to catch a fish and eat it.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
And yet there's dead bodies in there.
Yes,
and I was like, ugh.
I thought the same thing.
It just comes something you live with, you know?
You gotta think those rivers or streams gotta stink.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. There's gotta be putridness, like, washing through the water. Ugh.
Because you get a dead animal upstream. I mean, it's like...
It's contaminated.
The whole stream is awful.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the other contaminants in the water because all the systems broke down.
Yeah, right.
True.
Yep. Fuels and everything else.
I know we make a joke about it, but in eastern North Carolina, when those
pig farms,
their waste spewed into the rivers, it about killed the rivers around.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
There's a lot of eco disasters out there that would have happened after the system shut down.
As a biologist, it's interesting to see, since we're probably like 8 or 9 years into this whole thing now, and even though they still used cars,
That was one thing I was wondering. They got to be like 12 years into this now, right?
No, I think I think Kim's right. I think it's still only about eight or nine years.
It was a short amount of time.
They crammed a lot of seasons into a very short period of time.
They certainly did. And like one season only spanned like 4 days.
Spanded it.
Yep.
Anyways.
Spandated it.
You know, even though they were driving cars for a certain amount of time, a few years until the gasoline gave out, I'm interested to see like how nature has kind of like taken back everything and how it's corrected itself.
Right. You see in that. I mean, that was one of the reasons why they show Michonne going down that road on the horseback. So you could see how overgrown things had become. Mm-hmm. Even though I got to tell you, having seen, there's a minor league baseball stadium that's near here that closed about 4 years ago, I guess now, 3 or 4 years ago. And I went by there not too long ago and looked at it. It was incredibly overgrown in just that short period of time. I mean, you know, it was amazing how overgrown as hell. If you go into Chernobyl and see any of the places
that's
and
what
so
I was getting
forth in there, I mean, it's stuff's pretty much disappeared.
Yeah. You should see some of my neighbor's gutters. They've got like trees growing out of their gutters right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I'm actually thinking that they were a little conservative in how much growth they showed.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it'd be even more considerably overgrown.
Yeah, but you know, I'm really I'm glad that they're showing this now, that people are actually on horseback and, you know, really truly living off the land finally.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while. That to happen.
I am thinking it was interesting that they still have solar panels working. I don't think I've ever seen solar panels that are 10 years old that are still working.
I don't know but anyway. But what do you think about Magna though? Do you trust her? Do you think she has good intentions? Was she actually going to attack Michonne inside the house?
She has her good intentions for her group, I think.
I mean, I do think she thought about it. She's a survivor. And, I do think you saw that. I think she is the one in the group that most desperately wants them to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, she was going to extreme measures because of that.
Yeah.
But
you know, the rest of them are kind of like, we'll just have to leave.
Through what they were talking about, she's the most extreme one in the group that wants to have that place.
She knows it's the place where they need to be. She knows it's the place where they need to be.
What does attacking Michonne do for her? Like, that's
I don't know.
Just
that
going to make
weird.
The situation worse.
It seemed a little weird that she was kind of stalking outside the window at that
point. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Other than maybe she was going to force Michonne to let him stay or something like that. But
that's just awkward.
I agree.
You know.
What are you going to say to each other at breakfast?
Exactly. But what she did do made a bigger impression than anything else she could do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. Honesty always wins.
Okay. but I was still surprised Michonne didn't let him stay, though. I'm not sure where Michonne, if she feels comfortable enough with these people that they can stay somewhere.
Just not here.
But not here. But, oh, you can go stay at the Hilltop.
Because Maggie will take in any old stray.
I trust you enough to pawn you off on another civilization.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I would have liked to have seen Luke go, wait a minute, hold on a second. Oh, time out.
Yeah.
So they go up to Hilltop and they're like, no, so don't worry, they're great.
You're accepting us, but you won't accept us here? What are you, better than Hilltop?
Exactly.
Are you the elite?
Oh, this is Magna. Alexandra? She's really good at hiding knives.
And why Hilltop and not the Kingdom?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they got a whole lot of contact.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. There's something about Hilltop that's more of a focus, because both communities, Kingdom and Alexandria, talked about the Hilltop. They didn't talk about each other.
Yep.
But the Hilltop is the only one that's separated by the bridge. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Give me a minute.
I don't know what to tell you on that.
And where did Oceanside end up? They're probably at Hilltop.
Screw them.
We haven't seen anything. Wait a minute. Didn't we? Well.
They're opening up for Old Rick. Oceanside opening up for Old Rick and the Saviors.
In the Oceanside ballroom?
old man Rick and the Dreamers.
Yeah, old man Rick and the Dreamers. There we go.
That's right. The Oceansiders are opening for old man Rick and the Dreamers.
That's hilarious.
I love it.
Sounds like a bad prom.
We just created a new tour, guys.
We need a t-shirt. Oh, that would be an awesome t-shirt. And then you could give that away on our podcast, because you know our listeners want stuff.
Who doesn't?
They do want stuff.
Who doesn't want stuff?
And I want stuff.
Scott wants stuff. We'll make it so Scott can have it.
Can I win a t-shirt on this podcast?
Yeah, he's maybe. Scott's... I did 133 episodes of a podcast, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
That's what I need.
That would be awesome. Okay.
Podcast, I only got this t-shirt.
So, Carol. Carol's got a whole new style.
Yes, she does.
Long, witchy hair.
Okay, yeah. I have a little problem
with a
problem with all the big fake wigs on people.
Yeah, I'm not digging that.
Yeah.
She needs to cut that crap.
Like, I mean, come on, that can't be useful when you're out there fighting anything. I mean, I understand they're not all out fighting stuff anymore, but still, like, well, even I think Ezekiel walking around and like...
Stu, I think that's kind of the point they were making, though, is that her
that
haircut
comfortable
is not...
Enough to
yeah, it's not built for survival, it's built for style now.
Because that would have taken
queendom.
That would have taken 4 or 5 years to grow it out that much, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But we did find out that Carol is not very different from the old Carol. No.
Right. Carol is leading a secret life.
And when she was stirring that huge cauldron.
She does look like she belongs on the Witches of Eastwick. But
a bit of Eye of Newt.
Where is that Harry Potter?
The hair that they gave her did not look like, didn't look like it would be her hair.
No.
For some reason, I think her hair would probably be a little bit, it would probably
like
lay.
A bob.
Yeah, it would probably lay down a little bit more than that. That was like kind of poofy.
Well, you know, she doesn't have product anymore.
I don't know.
She's the water situation's probably not the best.
As a person that has grown up with curly hair and Kim the same way, kind of the straight. Like, we understand here that does not lay down, but Carol does not seem
speaking
like
speaking of which, right?
That someone
but speaking,
that,
hey,
the
speaking
the
of which of
like
having,
that.
Speaking of which of having product,
yeah.
Laura was the tough girl in the group, right?
Magna.
Yeah.
Is that Magna? Okay.
Yeah.
With a name
Magna,
like
Magna
that
was wearing a serious amount of makeup.
You think so?
Was she?
Oh, God, yeah. I noticed it, and then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, my God, come on.
Oh, that's because you've got that HD TV.
She got lipstick on. She's got eyeliner. You know, I'm just going, really?
Yeah, we
really?
Watch it on our old school TV.
Yeah, we
so
have
we
an
don't
old,
see the details like that.
TV VCR, tube TV.
Yeah.
It's a Betamax.
Yeah.
I think I got it in college. It hides a lot of that stuff.
We don't see the details.
Yes, exactly. You got your 8-track player in your car? In your Pinto wagon?
It hums when you turn it off.
But, my point with Carol, it seems like, you know, if Alexandria and the Hilltop are thriving, it looks probably like the kingdom is maybe falling apart. They mentioned it several times that things are getting old. It's not nice and pretty as it used
mechanically,
to be.
Mechanically, it's falling apart, but it looks like a thriving community.
Exactly. I mean, like, everything else is fine. The crops look okay and everything else. The community looks okay. It's just that things are starting to get a little bit decrepit.
Right. But it doesn't explain why the fact people can't repaint. I mean, you know, she's walking along talking about how it's falling apart and there's like peeling paint everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, you don't need a factory to fix the peeling paint.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Jerry, get off your ass and scrape the paint, pal.
Put down the cobbler, Jerry.
Jerry?
But also that Henry has become, well, first of all, he's been adopted by the two of them, mm-hmm. Ezekiel and Carol. And he's become kind of a figure in the community.
He's the prince. He's the prince.
Yes. But he's also trying to assert himself and trying to find his place in the world still, after all these years, and taking care of the pipes and all that, all that jazz. But I wasn't quite sure. I guess the only reason they were sending him off is just so he could train with Earl.
Yes.
But why can't he train at the the kingdom?
They don't have anybody there.
Nobody. To train him.
Yeah, that was the whole point. He wanted to be the mechanic of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But the only way he could do that is to be trained on how to use the tools, how to make tools, things like that.
Oh, so he was being trained on mechanical stuff. I thought he was being trained to fight.
No. Well, mechanical or just making stuff in general, because they're sending him to go work with the blacksmith.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was the whole idea.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, and because that's why he was saying,
you know, the pipes are falling apart, but they wouldn't be if I knew how to make new pipes and things like that.
Ezekiel was hesitant on letting him leave.
Okay.
And Carol was talking him into just let him leave.
He was overprotective.
And then, of course, good job, Carol. That really screwed everything up.
Yeah, but damn, she took care of business.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry still needs to have his little ass kicked and shown what's what, because you don't just go running off whenever you hear some damsel in distress.
I thought her reaction when he jumped off the wagon was awesome, though. She's like, oh, crap.
I know, but she didn't move very fast because, like,
Henry.
My first reaction when she jumped off the wagon was like, this is a setup to teach him to not do this shit. But then it turned out to be the saviors.
Oh, but you thought Carol set it up?
Yeah, because she wasn't moving very fast. Like, if your son is going off into danger, possible danger, you're going to be like, God damn it. Like, get your ass over here. And curb yourself.
Yeah, but Carol's laid back about everything. I mean, she easily got them out of that because she's Carol.
She is Carol. With her bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, like what you said, Stuart and I were talking about this scene with Jed and how Jed said, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to take any of your stuff because you saved me.
Yeah, you spared me before, so I'm going to return the favor. Right. And it was actually very generous about it because, I mean, he was talking about they were going to keep their wagon, they were going to keep their horses.
Yeah, stuff all like their that. Stuff.
So, right. They were going to take the goods, but he was going to leave them, you know, what they needed to get back or whatever, which I was like, at the time I was thinking, well, damn, that's really nice of him.
I know, it was surprisingly good. And then, of course, he makes the comment about the ring, which, of course, you're like, oh, well, you can't take the ring. That's just terrible. Why would you take
that? And Carol's reaction to it was exactly right. Here, take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but at that point, the ring, you're just taking the ring because you're being an asshole. The ring has no value in the world anymore.
But Carol recognized that for what it is. She recognized he's just being an asshole.
I know.
But the weird thing was that he was not really that much of an asshole about other things that he could have been an asshole about.
Right.
And then he said, okay, I'll take the ring. Because he's like, you can have your weapons, you can have the wagon, we just want the stuff. oh, but I'll take that ring because I guess I need to piss
he had
you
to
off.
Be, you know, he had to make some comments because he had all these other people watching him, yeah. You know, like, why would I need a stupid stick? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But he really was giving them, letting them off light.
Yeah.
Big time.
Especially for someone who had been within the Saviors. Right. You'd think that he would just kill them and I'm taking your stuff and then we don't have any witnesses. We don't have any problem. Right. But he let him live and then Carol goes back and the reason that he let her go so easy, I was very surprised that she goes back and actually kills them all.
Right. I was too. I thought it was actually ridiculous. Yeah. Not only that, it was ridiculous. I mean, these are people that have been living off the land and so forth, yet they sleep very soundly at night when there's yeah. walkers walking across yeah. The countryside, and they don't leave any guards out. Right. And here's Carol. She's walking around this crew for a while, spreading gas all among them and everything, right. And not one person wakes up.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just like, oh my God, it was the most ridiculous scene I'd seen in a long time.
I agree.
It was pretty badass, but it was still just kind of like, really? That was so stupid.
Well, and then, like, I think one of the worst things about it is that I feel like the whole reason she went back and did that is just because of Henry, because she wanted to save face with him, because he's like, what are you doing? Like, you used to be...
She could have done that.
Amazing.
She could have done that by going back there and getting the damn ring back.
Yeah.
That's all she had to do. All she had to do was go back there and take Jed, get the damn ring back from him. You know, Henry had no idea how she got the ring back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He doesn't know she went back there and killed all those people.
But she had the ring before she...
But she had the ring. He knows she had it. Right. But that's the thing. I mean, if she wanted to show that she faced up to him, all she had to do was get the damn ring.
Exactly.
Or put water all over him, lit the match, woke him up and been dropped it and been like, you could have been dead.
And started laughing.
Yeah, and then just take off.
And laughing. Yeah. Like, give me the ring. I'm leaving. You could have been dead right now. That's actually very true.
Hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was an way over the top reaction to that. Especially since I, you know, like we said, I mean, I'm watching that scene before that and I'm thinking, man, this guy is really letting him off light.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually being nice. Even if he is being a jerk.
And Kim had a different take on that. What were you saying, Kim? You were like excited that she did it.
Oh, I was. when she walked in and started throwing gasoline everywhere, and then they woke up and saw what she was doing, I was like, fuck yeah.
Well, I think that's the initial primal instinct is like, yeah, take him out. These are the bad guys.
And here's the funny thing, though. The funny thing is they didn't wake up.
Yeah,
Jed woke up.
Right.
He was the only one who woke up.
The girl woke up, too.
No, she woke up after she caught on fire.
Well, yeah, she still woke up.
I know, but I'm just saying it was ridiculous.
What I was telling Stuart was, like, there's always that moment in your life when you really just want to do something really bad to somebody because they've really pissed you off in a way that you just cannot recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And you really wish that you could do something if you knew that you wouldn't get caught or you wouldn't get in trouble for doing it.
Have you wanted to do something like that to me?
No.
Kim?
No.
Not yet.
It was like that time we put the salmon in Scott's tailpipe.
Yeah.
Okay. That was awesome.
And I feel like...
Smelled like shit for a year.
This was Carol's opportunity because everything that Jed and those guys did led up to the demise of Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And this was her chance to get back at those guys.
Yeah.
Because you don't take a girl's ring. Well, that's sacred.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's the part of Carol that makes her a little bit different than a lot of the people. That makes her a little bit more ruthless. That people are like, yeah, you go, Carol. Which I don't necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's certain parts of humanity you just don't go that extra step.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where she went that extra step. And even in a fake world,
mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you got to show some humanity at some point, especially, you know, now at this point where it is the new world. Maybe Carol doesn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that she doesn't until she does it this time.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I thought when you talk about respect, the one thing I did think was kind of funny in this episode is, you know, we're in a world where these kids have had to grow up fast. Mm-hmm. And they're actually pretty savvy and so forth like that. Yet all of the adults were not honest with them. Yeah. I mean, they all kept saying, you know, you'll understand someday.
Mm-hmm.
But yet these kids have had to live in a world where they have to be, you know, it's visceral. It's out there. I mean, you know, you say something, you explain it a little bit to them. Their parents, they didn't get that way by their parents not telling them things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Henry didn't get to the where he is right now because he was completely coddled his whole life.
Right. I you know what? I was actually shocked that Judith was running around with that huge six shooter.
Yep.
Well, I don't think Michonne wanted her to be.
I know, but she didn't take it away from her. But she was like, she was sitting on
the
stairs.
But she had it on her when she found them. The people too,
yeah, right?
Yeah, she was still wearing that bad boy.
Does anybody believe that that little girl could shoot that gun and still be standing up?
No. No.
If she braces herself, she will.
But she was picking off walkers for them? Yeah, that was
Even if she braced herself, she couldn't do that.
There's no way. That boy's got serious kick.
I think she could do it. She's amazing. But
Kim, when was the last time you shot a gun?
About 5 years ago.
And what was it?
M16.
Uh-huh, and you were able to hold that real steady and light?
I did, because I did the spread leg stance.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're talking about a pistol, a cannon of a pistol.
Well, I shot a Glock.
Mm-hmm.
The same day.
But Judith is what, like 8 years old?
Yeah.
At this point? Yeah.
She's all of 80 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
But she probably would be older than that, wouldn't she?
No, they said she's an 8 year old.
Oh, okay. Oh, they did. Okay. Yeah. I was just guessing. I didn't realize they actually stated what she was.
No.
I don't know. I think if you train your kids, you could probably get them.
At 8 years old, I don't think you'd be able to hold it up.
I mean, it looked huge on her. It was
much less.
It was huge on Rick.
She was sitting on the steps.
Rick.
I mean, it was huge on Rick. I mean, it was laughable actually how big of a gun Rick had all the time.
That's the Clint Eastwood gun.
Yes, it is. Yep, 44 Magnum.
Anyways, I like that she's trying to follow in the footsteps of her dad and her brother, and they're probably like mythical figures to her, and she's trying to live up to everything that they ever did in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then even interacting with Negan, as if it's no big deal.
But that was such a great scene. She put him in his place. I thought that was great.
That was a really good scene.
Yeah, you turned out.
And look where, look where it got you.
His comments were, the dialogue between the two of them. And I have to say, that girl, the actress.
She's fantastic.
Is really good.
Who was in the finale of Preacher.
Was she?
Yeah,
she was.
The season finale. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
What was she in that?
She was one of the school kids.
Really?
Yeah. There's a picture of her online in that scene. Oh. But anyway.
So that's why she made this thing. Gotcha.
She's really good.
She was fantastic. I mean, it was hard to believe that she was that young and pulling that off.
Yeah, her dialogue with Negan was fantastic, and her dialogue with Michonne was very good, too.
I think in real life she's like 11 years old.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But the writing, Negan's lines were great when she's asking about the math problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I'd get on airplane C.
Yeah. He's acting almost like, yeah. Exactly.
It was awesome. Because
it sounds like we got a big congregation coming in there. But I did think that Negan's almost like uncle-like behavior was actually kind of cute.
I did too.
But at the fact that she still kept him at bay by putting him in his place.
But her comment about, what was it, the...
numbers?
Yeah, with numbers, it doesn't matter if you're good or evil.
Right.
But so that's why that was the only thing she was going to talk to him about. And then she walks away. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was really
good. Yeah, but she's the one, though, who brought up about the visitors there and that the fact that Michonne was going to drive him out of there.
So but she understood that the conversation was getting a little off the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Negan, I want to know, what does he think about the fact that the sanctuary is no more? All of his people are scattered to the
winds. I want to know what happened to the sanctuary. I want to find out what happened.
Their crops didn't make it out? Probably?
Well, no. Uh-huh. Yeah, they obviously had good soil.
They couldn't work together?
At that industrial complex they're growing stuff at.
It's all contaminated.
Yeah, no. They didn't. They were takers. They were not producers.
Yeah.
So they didn't know what they were doing.
But Negan seems to be well taken care of. He's got a shaved head, freshly shaved.
Mm-hmm.
He mm-hmm. seems to be happy somewhat. Yeah. He's in good spirits. So somebody's doing him right. So in other words, somebody has changed their mind about how he's going to be treated. Who is that? Michonne? Does she play a role in that? You know what I mean?
I don't think he has a whole lot of conversations, though, because he was pretty desperate to keep her to talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were really to him that much. Treating him bad before. They were just kind of keeping him around. Yeah. I mean, because Rick was going down there and talking to him. They were feeding him. I mean, what more did they need to do for him?
So maybe his attitude has changed.
Yeah, I think he's just positive in the fact that he's still alive, I guess.
But what does he have to look forward to?
I don't know if he was that positive. I think he was very positive at having a conversation.
But it wasn't like that was her first time being there. So, right.
No, I know that. But I guess what I mean, though, is he's putting on the jovial Negan a little bit, but I don't know if he's really feeling that way. I don't know how content he really is. I mean, I still think that there's probably something underneath there that has him quite frustrated, I would think.
So, again, it's like when we come to visit you.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Okay, cool. You see how excited I am when you get here.
No, that's not what I meant. You put on a different face.
Oh, that's right. I do lie. That's a good point.
And
I do
actually,
lie.
Deep down,
and see, you're Kim, very that's where I'm telling you, honestly, unhappy. Is not always the best policy. We're going to go on a break for a minute. And then when we come back, we definitely want to get into, we need to talk a little bit more about Rosita and Eugene and see what's going on there. So we'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we're back. One of the things we want to cover is, it actually wraps up near the end of the show, is what's going on with Eugene trying to, it was Father Gabriel to put the wheels in motion about putting that transmitter out in the boonies so that they could see if they could contact anybody out there.
Yeah.
It's funny, my thought was probably Michonne's thought when he was talking about it. I was thinking, do you really want to broadcast out to these other people that you're there?
Right,
exactly.
But nonetheless, Rosita volunteers to go out there and set it up and drags Eugene along because Eugene's the technical guy. So they have a little adventure themselves, right?
Quite the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just want to comment on Eugene's hair.
No.
Much better.
I'm glad it, again.
You think so? I think it's worse.
I'm glad it's not the poofy thing going on. The rat tail is a little bit much.
Yeah,
with
but
the rat
now,
tail with the beads. But
now he's got like the boy band sweep over across the
eye. I couldn't care less. Just as long as not that damn mullet thing.
Well, I think he's getting...
he's like too old for that look.
The mullet helmet?
Come or the sweep over.
Really? Kim, you would rather have the mullet helmet?
The mullet is iconic.
No, I'm
bullshit.
Glad he's not doing that.
It should
anymore.
Have like its own zip code.
No. It should be buried deep in the woods and forgotten.
That's a change that needed to happen.
As most other mullets were forgotten in the woods.
Okay. All right. Fine. But I'll take the new and improved Eugene. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The one who's a badass and will kick anybody else's ass that comes in his way.
Yeah, that's we even got to see scared Eugene, but it was not scared Eugene like I'm going to run away. It was scared Eugene like I can't keep up with you. I'll lead them away from you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm. But we also saw the Eugene that's now confident enough that he mm-hmm. wants to tell Rosita that he's got a thing for her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't get it out, and she said, "Don't make things weird." She knew exactly what he was doing.
She was right.
That was well placed.
She was right.
This is not the time or the place for you to be spilling your guts right now. We got things to handle.
But he was hinting at it the entire time they were going out there.
He was. Right. But I like that he, like in the moment, that
she
moment.
She got the hint on him.
He was like, you know what, I need to tell you this before I die, just to get it off my chest. The old Eugene would have not done that.
Right. But she said to him, she's like, you know, why don't we just stay on mission here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he started bringing it up in the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she knew what he was talking about.
But what a bonehead move to knock the, when he knocks the ladder down, to just jump.
Yeah.
So stupid. First of all, the stupid thing was when he puts the backpack on when he's at the top of the tower, and only puts it on one shoulder.
Right.
And then it falls, and of course creates a noise that's loud enough to attract the walkers over there. But
the walkers were already heading that way, weren't they? I wasn't quite sure what the whole deal was with the bag.
When the bag hit, I think it was that was supposed to be like the cue that they got attracted even more to the base of the water tower.
Okay. I thought it was just something broke.
Got them going towards the water tower. And then Eugene knocks the damn ladder over, and he falls and hurts his knee.
Well, why not call out to Rosita, hey, I lost the ladder. You know?
Come help me.
So no matter how self-sufficient he is right now, he's still rumbly stumbling and screwing things up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. True.
Did it to his knee. So for that reason, he had to put a big old clump of mud in his eye.
Yes.
That'll teach him.
I've been looking forward to this moment for so long.
Okay, so before you go into, this is what it is.
I'm not going to,
actually,
what are we going to go into, Kim? That's what we want to talk about.
When you hear that, to me, it's like, oh my God, the herd's communicating with each other.
Right.
And in fact, they kind of built that up, I think, in the previews, because I think they had Aaron saying, why are they walking around together? Like, we've never seen them.
Right. Congregating.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't even like congregating. It was they were walking around.
They were just lingering.
Searching for stuff.
Yeah.
And so when you hear the kind of the whisper of stuff. Yes, of course. The whisperers have been whispered in my ear many times.
The whisperers.
But I didn't think that's what was happening. I thought it was like, oh, my God, the walkers are starting
to figured it was I thought it was the whispers, but what I can't quite get, and I'm sure we'll find this out, and Kim can probably answer it for me, but are they communicating with the walkers? Because I didn't think walkers
could... Are they communicating with each other?
They're just communicating with each other.
Yeah. Are they got the bit of the Vespers?
No, but I mean, you see that they all look like walkers, right?
They want to walk amongst the walkers without attracting attention, so they whisper to sound like the grunts the walkers are making.
But are they communicate with each other? They gotta be leading them in some way. Why would they stick with them?
Well, they turn the herd around.
Yeah, so I mean, if they're like, oh, we need to go over here, then like if they start moving a certain way, then I guess the other walkers are walking with them.
Okay, Tony, let's go to the left.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Bob.
I mean, that's a good question. How do they control the real walkers?
There's a ham sandwich over there.
Well, maybe there's enough of them in the crowd that they almost push the walkers in their direction.
Right.
You know, they start turning that way and knock them in that direction, then the rest of them start following.
Yeah.
My question...
Bunch of lemmings.
They're kind of like the general public. when people see, like, other people moving their way, they're like, oh, there must be something interesting over there.
Herd mentality. When Rosita and Eugene first come across the tracks, and they're going in the opposite direction of where Eugene and Rosita need to go...
They were going east, and they needed to go west.
Right, so...
There's that guy with the hair.
How did the walkers know... How did the whisperers know that Rosita and Eugene were even there?
And how the hell did they miss him in that ditch?
Kim, actually, I think maybe because they might have seen Eugene up on the tower.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point.
That's the only reason I was thinking that is because, you know, he saw them when they were turned in his direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they saw him up on the tower. That's why they went that way.
That's possible. Yeah.
And you got me all screwed up because you got me like the whisperers and then the guys with the helicopter somehow are mixed. And that's not the way it is.
I told you that.
I know, but I'm just saying the storylines are kind of screwed up now because you got the A and B thing in my head and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you should apologize to the listeners right now.
I apologize for nothing. There is so much that still needs to be learned.
I think you should absolutely apologize. You've totally screwed guys' heads up because we don't process stuff that quick.
Yeah.
Well.
So stop messing with us, woman.
I'm sorry if I confused you, but
It's not hard.
Did you not think, though, like, if you had known nothing, if they had not been showing this particular scene for months now, since June or July, since San Diego Comic Con, which is when they first showed this
scene. Which one, the mud scene?
The mud scene.
I don't think, I didn't see it.
I hadn't seen it until last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what was your initial reaction? Like, did you
know? I just told you.
Okay. I mean, were you excited? Were you shocked? Were you like, God damn, the walkers are talking?
Of course I was excited. But okay. I was excited thinking that the walkers were communicating with each other. Scott.
I almost texted you the same way I did when I said, there's your windmill. Because I you know, as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's whispers. Mm-hmm. There's the whispers. I mean, I knew, I don't know how I found out whether it was you or whoever, or whatever, that I knew that they put on the skin and so forth of their victims and walked amongst the dead. So I figured that's kind of what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the dead weren't talking to themselves, because then that would just throw that would be the seminal moment that would change the whole series.
That's the,
completely.
The shark jump. Right there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The dead all of a sudden could start talking. Well, we got a whole other show.
But that's how they were kind of setting it up.
They were trying to make you think that a little bit.
Yes, the commercials that are leading up to it, the previews, were definitely doing that.
Now put yourself in Eugene and Rosita's shoes. And
I don't want to.
They're sitting there with all this mud all over them, and Eugene's eyes are about to bug out of his face, and she has to cover her mouth because she's got to scream and she wants to stifle it. That would be scary as shit to think that the walkers are evolving and they're changing and they're communicating with each other. And now this is a whole other ball game that we have to deal with now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just these mindless freaks that are roaming the countryside.
So at that point, Rosita should have jumped up and been like, this show is ridiculous.
No.
I've had enough.
We've jumped
and Eugene would have stood up and said something like, well, this is an unexpected predicament.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now we're just fucked.
Well, that got my perkadilly going.
What did he say at one point? He said,
what about his testicles?
Sweet sassy molassy.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one. That's a good Southernism.
No, it isn't either. He's like making shit up. Making us look like a bunch of morons.
That's awesome.
We do look like morons. It doesn't take Eugene to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, so we are set up for next week.
Yes.
We'll finally, I think, get a little bit more into our Whisperer story and find out. I think we'll probably maybe get some exposure to Hilltop next week.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. They've got to.
Sorry. Kim, are we boring you?
I'm sorry. Even when I said it, I was like, don't, like, edit that.
That's a really good show.
I'm sorry.
I think that will show up in the end of my comment there, too.
I've got a really good thought, but wait a minute.
Excited for next week?
I'm sorry.
I'm excited for my pillow.
Put your head on your huge pillow. Oh, okay. We're going to laugh our way into our hits and misses. Kim, you got a hit for us?
Of course I do. My hit is the introduction of the Whispers, because I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. And I honestly did not think that they would ever get to this point. So I'm really excited to see how they do it and what they do with it, how far they take it.
Okay.
That's all I'll say about that.
My hit was the new crew that was coming in here, even though I'm not sure how long lived they're going to be. It played well in this episode. And, I even liked the hints at, other civilizations that they were putting out there. Like past civilizations that they had dealt with were like, oh, well, that place was like a fossil.
Like Colville.
Yeah, that was good. I thought they were a great, addition to this episode.
Mm-hmm. My big hit was Grace.
Who's Grace? Oh, Gracie? The baby?
Aaron's daughter.
Why is that a hit?
It's not. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Where did that come from? Okay, Daddy. I'm kind of like, what?
Well, isn't that the one that they adopted, that girl, right?
Yeah, that's the one they rescued from the Savior's building.
Yes, right.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. It must have been seminal.
That was when, what's his face from the first episode, or from the first season, they found Rick and Daryl found him in the building. They had a shootout, and then they...
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then...
The kid in the crib, right.
Yep, the kid in the crib.
And Aaron's like, I'll take care of her and rain off.
Well, that answers that question. No, my hit was, as Stu said, it was the new group coming in. I hope they're not short-lived. I do like those characters. Even Magna. I want to, I think she'll be an interesting character. I think she's the kind that could relate better to Michonne than most of them.
Yeah,
I do
too. So I would like to see some kind of a respect built between those two, even if it does come from Hilltop.
Yeah, and even with Connie and Kelly, when they're doing their scenes, it's all very quiet. That is such a powerful moment when they're being quiet and doing the sign language. And you don't see that very much on TV, where it's just a quiet scene. And so I'm really excited to see where they take those characters too.
Yep, I think they're all good. Kimmy, you've got I'm going to assume you've got a miss.
Again, hard to find a miss. I mean, if I had to pick anything, I'd say Carol's hair.
Okay.
It's got a life of its own. The Savior's part was a little bit...
my miss.
Was it?
Yes. Oh. Actually, just the hair in general.
Well, I'm glad you guys were thinking very deeply about this.
Yeah. Well, no. I was going to say the Savior's part was a little
very
off for
superficial.
Me.
Yes.
Just wanted to get that out there.
Yes, we know.
The Saviors were off for me just because I don't believe that they would be sticking around that area if their community had failed. Why stick around? There's other places that they could explore to scavenge.
Well,
I
could see them sticking around just because it's known territory to them, even if their community fell apart. And they wouldn't get very far,
You've already scavenged all of this surrounding area, the closest area to home. So why not go further and start moving on? Like, they should be in Texas by now, screwing up with our Fear of the Walking Dead people.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But you know what? We don't know. We don't know how far away they were when they went to get Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So who knows? I mean, I'm speculating that the distance between Hilltop and the Kingdom is much greater than we think it is. Because they always talk about it being...
at least a day.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about it being an ordeal to get to this place. So you can't be that close by.
It's definitely uphill.
Both ways.
Yeah.
My miss was, the whole thing with the Saviors and killing off Jed. I hate to say it. I like Jed.
I know. You got very excited when Jed came on the screen.
And
then you're like, and there goes Jed.
Jed's dead. Jed's dead.
Damn it. Yeah, I actually like Jed. I would have liked to seen him kind of turn it around because I like the actor who plays him. I think he does a really good job. So I would have liked to seen Jed survive. So that was disappointing to me, and I also thought the whole scene was kind of unnecessary. It was great seeing the Saviors. Don't get me wrong. I thought having the Saviors in the story somehow made it interesting because then we got a glimpse that something went wrong with the Saviors. We don't know what yet, but, we find that out. That they're living on the lam. But then to just kill them off like that was disappointing and completely unnecessary.
And they brought them on as like a very secluded threat too. So it wasn't even like they were a huge threat.
Yeah.
People didn't even know that they were around.
They're not marching on Alexandria or something or Kingdom. They were just living scavenging.
So I guess they're just setting it up for the sole new antagonist.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. It sounds like to me that they just, again, tied a neat little bow on that community and was like, okay, we're done with you guys. Now we're bringing in the Whisperers, so make room.
There's going to be more story to that, though, because they wouldn't have just said after it failed. I don't think they would have just left it at that the Sanctuary failed. I think we're going to find out something about what happened to the Sanctuary.
I don't think so. I think Kim's right. I think they're probably, that's it, man.
No, I think you're both wrong. So we'll move on.
Nothing new there.
What's your miss, Stuart.
Oh, no, I already named my miss. My miss is the hair thing. But a little bit more explanation is, like, the dread thing. I mean, that has got to be frustratingly annoying. It's like, yeah, to keep them around like that. And especially in this environment where, yeah, they've got showers and stuff around, but there's got to be an issue with, like how clean heat. You can keep your hair and stuff, too.
And the heat.
And heat. What about, and dreads are not, they're not easy to keep clean. That's for sure.
Because you've had them?
Yes.
You should see Stu's dreads.
Yes.
Actually, he did come back from the islands with...
You know, we that was lovely.
With braids.
Nice beads.
We should post that picture. That's amazing.
But wouldn't you think, like, in this area, like, I mean, like, lice or bed bugs or something would be an issue. Yeah.
Totally.
It's a huge issue.
And keeping that much hair in this...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like in the situation they're dealing with.
Yeah, I think practical reasons you'd want it short.
Walkers could grab your hair and pull you backwards, there like in the Red Machete.
But they don't necessarily have to fight so much. But it would be really freaking annoying. I mean, look at Ezekiel's dread; they're huge. That's a lot of weight.
I think for no pun intended, but I think the idea was to show that they had let their hair down, because that the threats were not there anymore to them. That was not funny, Scott.
It wasn't funny at all.
It wasn't meant to be funny. No, it was not funny at all. Okay, quiet. So, hey, listen, we forgot one thing, though. We forgot one thing to discuss. No, I'm not. What was the scar on Michonne's back?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Interesting.
They made a big deal out of that.
Because that's the same location as Rick's wound, both from season one and from...
Rick's wound in the back? I thought it was just in the front.
I think it was when Michonne went to Russia and had her kidney stolen.
Oh, shit.
It was the same side, and definitely in the back from last week, because he had a rebar going through him.
True, right.
So, yeah, it was front and back. But hers was an X.
This is an X.
It was very... You know, like somebody intentionally did that. So I don't know. It almost looked like she had given a kidney.
Well, maybe Stu was right. Maybe it was organ thieves.
Maybe
Jed was selling it on the black market for food.
It might have been symbolic.
It might have been symbolic. We don't know yet.
But I can't imagine it be symbolic. They're not barbarians.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you there. I think that it was... I'm kind of thinking that it was a kidney donation to somebody in the community. Mm.
They did make a big deal out of it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was one of her kids.
Maybe it was an alien inside of her was going to burst out and they got it out of it first.
Could have been.
You know, that's what I would think. I think that's more what it was. Where's Harry Potter?
I don't even know how you made that connection. But okay.
Since when are connections necessary?
Maybe not at all.
You're idiots.
All right.
It's like word salad. We just throw it out there and let everybody else try and figure it out.
Do we have any listener comments? I bet you we do. I bet you we got a bunch.
David Valentin, DV Orlando, said, "Love that finally we are seeing a real apocalypse. No more high-speed car chases, unlimited assault rifle battles, and unlimited supply runs. We are back to what the world looked like in the 1820s.
That's true. Carol had a bow and arrow this time.
A lot of people were actually using the bow and arrow.
Yeah, I don't think there were many guns to be seen other than a couple of the pistols.
Except you, Judas, huge.
But that's what I mean. But I don't remember seeing any rifles or anything, do you?
No, I don't.
Because even the guys that were guarding the new arrivals when they came into Alexandria had, like, machetes and shit. They didn't have any guns.
Yeah, you're right.
Mbop at CutePoison10 said, "But Daryl has a dog. Carol kicked ass. Miss Rick."
Daryl does have a dog. A German Shepherd. How sweet is that?
That's very adorable. Daryl needed a friend.
He did need a friend, I'm sure, even though he's like pushing away all the other friends.
But the dog's kind of like, this is the best tent you got? Really? With all the holes? Dude, seriously?
Yeah. She just throws him an arm every now and then.
All right. Rennie89 has changed her name again on Twitter. Addicted to you at Rennie89.
Yes.
said, "This episode was awesome. I'm saying this for every episode. For me, it's a great season. Love it. Just need Ezekiel to die and more Daryl moments. You know he's my heart." "Love the moment when he saw Carol and Henry, the little smile on his face. He needs her as she needs him."
Ready. Okay, so why Easy die? Why
because what? To be replaced by Daryl.
Oh, okay.
She wants Daryl and Carol to. She wants a.
I gotcha.
She's shipping.
I still think Carol looks like she'd be Daryl's mom.
It sounds more like Rennie wants both.
Daryl for herself.
Yeah, wants both Easy and. Carol. Oh, yeah, everybody to die.
And she wants Daryl.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Or I agree. She wants a threesome Carol with Daryl and Carol.
Yeah, maybe, possibly.
A threesome? No. No. Yikes.
I'm just doing the math.
You know, it's just, we'll put it out there. Maybe Rennie will have a comment on that.
Notice her name is addicted Rennie. To you. We love She's Rennie. Addicted to Daryl.
Joe Johnson said, "I'm going out on a limb here, but I think Enid is going to be the one in charge of Hilltop." That's what I read. Gotcha. "We already know Maggie is gone." I you know what? I'm intrigued, Joe. That may be true. It may be true.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility.
It really
too.
Brought up an interesting chain of events that might come out from that.
I don't know how effective Enid would be as a leader, though.
Right. What would Enid be as a governor? Now, the other thing, too, is what about, you know, the one guy we haven't seen anything of yet, and I'm sure we will see maybe when we get to Hilltop, was the savior guy.
Yeah, Alden.
Alden. Now, Alden was very drawn to Maggie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Maggie's gone, maybe Alden went with him. Because we've seen Jesus and so forth.
Alden's the mass hole? Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. By the way, he's English.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but
he's Scottish.
But I saw him recently, I was running through the channels, and there was one of these high school horror movies on.
Oh, really?
And he was a kid in this thing.
Oh,
and
really?
I was just like, oh, I recognize that guy. He didn't have the weird beard, but... Anyway.
But he's got like that New England, but it's definitely Massachusetts.
He's the Gloucester fisherman.
Like he's a shrimper, yeah.
Yeah.
The Gloucester fisherman.
Not a shrimper. Lobsterman.
Whatever.
Shrimpers are neck of the woods, North Carolina.
Oh, true.
They don't fish for shrimp up there.
Okay, whatever.
You ready to be shutting up now?
They have huge shrimp with claws.
Shut it.
And they're red.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that's me. Emmeline Belkamp said, "Little Judith is adorable. She and Negan need to be math BFFs forever. All hail Queen Carol, the badass the apocalypse needs. Could Michonne's scar be a tribute to Rick? It was too clean to be an accident, and that's roughly where the scar from his bullet wound was."
I just can't imagine why she would have a tribute to Rick. That seems kind of...
Why would she have a tribute to Rick?
A bit of a stretch.
I mean, get a tattoo.
She's kind of a badass.
Versus a scar.
And she likes knives.
She couldn't have done that herself, man.
Yeah, it was on her back.
It was on her back. She couldn't do that.
No.
Not that perfect of a cross like that?
Yeah.
Like, Sadiq had to be involved somehow.
Possibly.
She had to have stitches.
That was a big scar, too.
Father Gabriel. And it didn't mean to be that deep. It's just that he has really bad depth
perception.
Oh, you guys are bad.
It's supposed to be surface wound.
Ow! That's too deep. Ow.
Jeez.
You idiot. You blind bastard.
So bad.
You may pee in blood
Craig
for a
said,
week.
We done? Kara Craig said, "I'm annoyed with the 6-year time jump. They're officially taking lazy writing to gold medal status. And another couple with no chemistry? Sigh."
Kara?
I gotta disagree with Kara on this
Same. Watch it again.
Now, don't
Kara.
Get me wrong. If the storylines don't prove to be interesting going forward, then I will agree with you that was a cheap gimmick to try to get it going forward. But I just have a feeling that so far, at least, like the storylines are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I think the 6-year time jump allowed them to reinvent every single one of the characters that we have seen, especially Eugene and Michonne and Carol.
But Kim, that plays exactly into what Kara is saying. that is a cheap gimmick to be able to change all your characters
mm-hmm.
instead of showing the development that they went through to make them like that.
You know what? I don't want to see all of that development.
I understand that, but she's right. I mean, that is something that you'll see on shows when they do something like that. It is a cheap way to advance the show without having to do much character development.
I think it's brilliant.
Well, honestly, yeah, I agree that yes, but I think it was needed. I think I agree with both of them that I think it's needed in a way because the storyline was kind of becoming an old sponge.
Well,
right.
And you didn't know what to do with it anymore. And
we've seen the show
needed.
Do stuff like that before.
We went from Skimple to Angela Kang.
Yeah. And
we needed a fresh start. And this was the perfect way to bring in Angela's producing and writing style. And I think it was amazing.
Well, and you have a storyline no matter how much they tried to break it away from Rick. You know, give some power over to Maggie, whatever. It always came back to Rick. Yeah. And that was the of only course. Thing that people ever wanted to be. And you know what? What's shockingly well done is the fact that last week we lost Rick. Mm-hmm. And this week we're not complaining about losing Rick.
Exactly.
No, but you know what? There was something, I can't remember what it was in this episode that actually cracked me up a little bit because there was somebody, what was it they were saying? I think I even texted you at the time. There was two characters talking and they were talking about the fact that Michonne was reacting the way she is because of what happened. And I'm thinking, you know, 5-6 years after that fact, I really don't think that is going to be influencing her reaction to things
but
all
I
the
think,
time.
I think that comment saying that she's reacting to what happened is not accurate. I think she's just, where we find her is just, you know, it's a solemn moment where she's reflecting on Rick, you know, that's it. It's not that she goes down there every day and does that.
And they don't have a grave site for him. That is his grave. That, you know, people go to graveyards all the time to reflect on lives and to talk to your people and to communicate about what's going on in your life and to ask questions and everything. That's where she goes to visit his body, quote unquote, and his spirit.
It's an old strange show. They couldn't find a body.
Well, I said that too. Like, did nobody get on a boat and start to scour?
Well, he wasn't even in the river when the place blew up.
Did you see how many bodies blew up and bodies went into the river at that point?
Right. But he wasn't on the bridge at the time.
Oh, he did? No, he ran towards the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, he struggled towards it. Right, then he shot.
He moved towards it, and then he shot, and then I guess they're assuming that he blew up into And I mean, he had to have blown up into the water at some point to end up on a bank somewhere.
Yes. Right.
There's a bit of...
Stretch.
Yeah. Suspend
It's a wee
your
bit
disbelief.
Of a stretch, lad.
You gotta suspend your disbelief, man.
I do. And a lot of times, luckily this season, I've not had a problem doing that.
But other than the walkers I had on the porch out here, I have never seen walkers.
But I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to think that Michonne, who loved Rick more than anything in the world, would be talking to him all the time and asking for his guidance, even in her bedroom or wherever she is.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep.
Mark LaVarnway said, "Who's the little boy with Michonne? Presumably hers and Rick's son, but, and this is a big but, that King is maybe 3 or 4 years old. Rick's been gone about 6 years. Something tells me Michonne was not pining too much for Rick, and good for her. Carol Longhair will get you killed, but I'm sure she had it short to prevent her abusive husband from snagging it. The long lock shows that Carol is happy and feels safe with Zeke. He calls her his queen, and he treats her as such. He dearly loves her. Poor Daryl." So we didn't talk about the little boy who runs into Michonne's arms, and
so you
is
don't
named
think
RJ.
He's... Yeah, so how old do you think RJ is?
So I assumed that it was Rick's kid, but I mean, he's right. He seems like younger than 6 years old.
He's got to be 3 or 4 years old, looks like.
Yeah.
Well, she had a long pregnancy, I guess.
I mean, Maggie did. Maggie spanned like 3 years, right? Yeah. Anything is possible
and she
in
never
walking
showed.
Down the world.
She never once showed.
She never had a pregnant belly.
She ever, punched that ever. Shit down.
Yeah, she did.
That's right. She toughened that shit.
So I want to believe that it's Rick's baby because they were talking about it so much. I don't want to believe that she went.
No, it's Rick's. It's Rick's baby. They just maybe didn't cast it very well.
Maybe.
I don't think it's Rick's baby. It was not carrying a six shooter and a cowboy hat.
And let me tell you, one of the creepiest scenes.
The girls got it.
Was actually when.
No, I thought they just came out like that.
The creepiest scene was after Judith was on the staircase and talking to Michonne. And then you hear, "Mama, I'm hungry now."
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That was strange.
I know.
That
I
did not sound like
you think
kid.
There was going to be like a backwards walker?
Yes, like ooh, creepy ring girls there.
Climbing the walls.
Mama, I'm hungry now.
I don't want to think too much into that because I have a feeling that is nothing more than bad casting choice.
I think so too.
Than anything else.
Yeah. They didn't really show his face or anything.
That's intended to be Rick's kid.
Yeah, Michonne should have pulled that katana out, taken that thing
out. Slice. You're possessed, kid. God. All right.
Okay. Well, that creeped me out.
I think we've watched too many horror movies.
It's like Gage from the Pet Cemetery. I'm hungry for you.
Exactly. Is that your pet cat?
Oh, yum, 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 yum.
So, next week on The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 7, Stradivarius. Carol seeks out an old friend living alone in the wilderness, teeming with walkers. Yeah, we already saw that. Survivors make the perilous trek to a new home. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, in other words, we're going to follow our crew, go up to Hilltop.
Yep.
And that's it.
And we're going to talk about Daryl a lot.
Yes. And evidently, we're going to talk about Daryl a lot. Hopefully, Daryl will be talking about Daryl a lot instead of grunting.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he's got a lot to say. He's been on his own for a while.
Yep. Exactly. He's going to offer a piece of candy.
One sad thing to report is that...
Yeah, very sad thing. Very sad thing.
Yesterday, I guess it was, Stan Lee, creator of so many comic book heroes that we all love,
Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four. He didn't create Captain America, but he brought Captain America to life.
Yes.
He brought a lot of stuff to life. Black Panther, all kinds of stuff. So, you know... I would say that he directly influenced The Walking Dead in just that we needed a comic book hero in this, and Rick became that guy. And he's...
Well, just the format. The whole format of the graphic novel and so forth. I mean, these DC Comics and Marvel Comics are American icons.
Yep.
I mean, they are truly a true American art form.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This and is purely DC, American.
DC, I think, was relatively stale when Marvel came out.
Yes.
And I think he really pushed the envelope of like constant conflict.
Well, between
characters.
Right, but what he did that was innovative compared to DC Comics. You know, DC Comics had Superman and so forth were the big deal at the time. But what Marvel did, especially with a character like Spider-Man, was a perfect example. They made them a real-life person. Mm-hmm. Okay, Spider-Man was a high school kid going through all the crap that high school kids go through. Superman wasn't that. Superman was a superhero with you know, whose secret identity was actually kind of silly and that no one ever could figure out that Clark Kent was Superman, even though they looked exactly alike. Glasses can do a lot. But he really took the superheroes and made them relatable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was characters, superhero characters coming of age.
Yeah. Fantastic Four. I mean their characters were
Or
the Fantastic Floor. they were hardwood. They were characters with flaws in them.
Yeah.
You know, it was not just your typical superheroes. DC really started pulling that together when they started doing something with Batman that made Batman a little bit of a darker character and so forth. Yeah. But it took them a while to catch on. So that's where Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and these other guys that created Marvel Comics, that's where they really made their mark in Americana.
Oh, and actually growing up with it, Marvel was the only one you could afford when you're a kid. If you could scrape together enough change together, you could get a Marvel comic. Yep, you could not buy a DC comic.
I can remember going to the beach with your brothers, and we would walk all the way from the beach house across the levee and all this stuff over to this one store, because they actually had Marvel annuals. Comics that they would bring out once a year about the characters or whatever like that. So we would always walk that way to get those things and get so excited about it. Yep.
No.
Well, apparently there's one more cameo that we're going to see of Stan Lee, and that should be coming out soon with Avengers 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the other cool thing about Stan Lee is that he was in pretty much all of his recent films. Mm-hmm. Did some sort of cameo.
Yeah, well, he did it because he was such a huge fan of Alfred Hitchcock. And Alfred Hitchcock did cameos in all of his movies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so Stan Lee wanted to do that as a tribute to Albert Hitchcock.
But that made him relatable to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was a rock star. I mean, an odd rock star. I mean, he was obviously a salesman, but he was also, you know, people said he was a genuinely nice guy. Mm-hmm. But you even saw, you know, there's pictures on Instagram and so forth of the Walking Dead cast when they got to meet Stan Lee, and they're just like blown away getting to hang out with him. Mm-hmm. And so forth. So yeah, he was an American icon.
Yeah. Ming Chen from Comic Book Men, which also shows on AMC, posted a picture of himself with Stan Lee.
Mm.
And yep. Even he was like super excited about how he got to meet his mentor and the guy that he's always just worshipped, basically, and like they have a comic book store all because of what this man has created.
Well, I mean Stan Lee was always extremely down to earth. Mm-hmm. He never saw himself as like major celebrity, even though he was Mr. Marketer for Marvel and was always putting himself out.
I mean, Stan Lee was probably not the most creative guy at Marvel. Okay. Because there were a bunch of those guys there, Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby and some of these other guys. There was another guy who actually started Marvel with Stan Lee, but Stan Lee was the salesman of the group.
Yes, yeah. He was the marketer.
He's the one you saw, and he was brilliant for it. Mm-hmm.
Think about, like, they had a lot of comics that were successful.
Right.
Through late 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm. But they weren't making the money off of all that marketing and stuff until the past, whatever, 15 years.
Yeah, when the movie started coming out.
20 years.
Was Disney bought them out?
They had started before that. Sony started.
Yeah, they started before that. But I'm just saying, like, then, like, all that really paid off. Because, I mean, for our generations, I think, you know, we all, like, connected with Stan Lee and Marvel. I mean,
and it brought, it helped us be able to connect with the younger generation. Because now the younger generation seeing all these characters that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my son's 30 and he's a huge Avengers fan now on the movies and stuff like that. And he and I talk about it and I'll be like, no, that's not the way it really happens. Hold on. This is whatever. He's like, well, that's not what it said in the movie. So it's actually interesting to have the conversations with him now because we have a shared experience. It's just brought into us a little bit different way. There was a really cool picture on Instagram from Chris Hardwick, and I showed him. He was evidently interviewing Stan Lee on a stage or something like that, and he was on the ground in front of Stan Lee tying his shoelace while Stan Lee was talking, which I thought was so cool. I thought that was really neat.
That's cute. Yeah. That is very cute.
So he's going to be missed. He's going to be missed.
First Scott Wilson and now Stan Lee.
Yep.
So write to us and tell us what you thought about Stan Lee or about this episode even. You can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Stan.